Welcome to TJ Sideways Live, courtesy of racesontheweb.com. Here is your host, TJ Buchenbarger.
Thank you, Beth. Good evening, race fans. Coming to you live here from the Engine Pro Studios, just outside of Grand Rapids, Michigan. A little later on in the program, we'll have Caleb Hart. We're going to break down the Dirt Cup for 2014 and see what might be in the future of that event. And also, Jay Steinbach collected his first career feature win. He's literally the closest proximity sprint car, possibly by about half a mile. I think him and Joe Bears are pretty close, and he picked up his first career win, so why not have him on the show? He's going to close the show tonight. But we're going to kick things off with the car owner that puts on his promoter hat every year during Independence Day weekend, and has become a bit of a tradition over at the Waynesfield Raceway Park, the Bob Reynolds Memorial, coming up on July 3rd, $7,500 to win. And that is an amazing feat, Ron Hammonds, to have that kind of payoff for an event like that. And it truly is an event you guys are going to have over there at Waynesfield on Friday.
Thursday. But yeah, it's you know, I've got a lot of good sponsors that sponsor the race. I got a good fan base with it, good car count with it, and I mean, it just seems to keep growing every year. And as long as people keep supporting it, I'm gonna keep putting this race on, and I hope to keep raising the purse every year. I mean, it started out at 6,000 last year, was 7, this year 75, and as long as I got the money to do it from sponsors and from the crowd, it's going to keep growing.
And that's what I was going to ask you about. You've kind of taken this thing under your wing, and it's actually become a real source of pride. We always talk about it every time that we run across paths two or three times a year. Looking back on it now, is it more work than you ever thought it would be, or is it more fun than you ever thought it would be trying to put this thing on?
It's kind of a mixture. I mean, you know, you run it, you got 98% of the people that are great, and then you always got that 2% you can't please them no matter what you do. So, it's great. I love doing it. I wouldn't want to do it all year. I mean, putting the two races on, the Harvest of Sprints and the Bob Reynolds Memorial, it takes a lot of work, and people don't see the stuff behind the scenes. I mean, you know what it's like because you have to do that stuff. But, yeah, it takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of going out and beating the bushes for money for it. And, you know, you just hope, you know, you start losing sleep about now. Everything's going to go right. The weather looks great for Thursday. And like I said, as long as people keep supporting it, it's going to keep going on.
And this is one of the biggest paying 360 shows in the country. It's a single day program. One thing that's kind of interesting, it's in the Lima area, but Waynesfield is it's kind of out in the middle of nowhere, but it's not too far from Lima. Do you have to occasionally tell people, because of you promoting this race, do they ever kind of come to you and go, where is Waynesfield Raceway Park? Are you kind of surprised by how many people haven't been there?
No, actually, I mean, it's becoming well-known. At the beginning, I probably had to do that a few times, but I've had four or five calls today from North Carolina, South Carolina, North Dakota, Missouri, and you know, they want to know about the tire rule. Obviously, it's an open right rear tire. I've had modifieds calling because it is 3,000 to win on the modified. So, I mean, I've got a great response from it, and it just sounds like it's going to keep growing.
And what kind of neat stuff do you have in store for the fans this year?
It's the same. I mean, we're going to throw the Frisbees in the stands at the feature, and the top three is going to get anywhere from a $50 gift certificate to $25 to $100 for first. Here we got a raffle we're doing where we're doing 600 tickets. Brand new four wheeler is going to be raffled off that night. A $1,500 Green Egg grill and a $500 gift certificate to either Tim Logan's Carpet or Pure Speed Shop.
Well, that sounds like a neat deal, so the fans can get in on this too. One thing I was noticing, I was going through the Waynesfield website, you know, doing some research for the show. One thing I like about your show is you have a under $20 adult ticket for this show, which is remarkable for what you're paying. But also, you have a middle age bracket, 15 to 11 is $10, and 10 and under is free. It's one of the better deals I've seen for a big race anywhere in the country.
Oh, yeah, we did. You know, I wanted to keep it under $20 because I know what it's like to go to those shows, and you get kind of, you feel like you kind of got ripped off a little bit. But yeah, it's $18 for adults, and then I think it's 10 to 15, it's $15, and then under 10 is free. The fits are only $30, and I mean, most shows you go like this, it's $35, $40. I try to keep it reasonable because I know what it's like to go to one of these shows, and like I said, feels like you kind of got ripped off, and I just want to keep it where the fans are going to keep coming to it.
And you said you've been getting calls from all over the country. What kind of surprises, team-wise, are you expecting to show up? Do you got anybody that you can let us know about that might be showing up we don't normally get to see, or is that all being played close to the vest at this point?
I know for sure I got Christopher Bell, Greg Wilson. Darren Hagen called me today, and I'm pretty sure he's coming. There's a couple other surprises that I think will happen. I know Schaefer called me today. He's not going to be able to make it, so he's going to be running Atomic that night. So I got probably Nate Bussell going to be in my third car. But, yeah, I mean, you know what it's like when you got Sod and NRA together anyhow, and then you throw in a few other ones. It's going to be a great race, I think.
Yeah, it's. I think one thing, these Sod NRA co-sanctioned shows are highly underrated in the sprint car world. To me, it seems like they always end up putting on a good show, good car counts, and I think it brings out the best in both groups, to be honest, because those guys are elbows up to race each other.
Oh, definitely. I mean, you know, you got a handful of guys from Sod, and you got a handful of guys from the NRA that can win on any given night, and you put them together on a whole ring like Waynesfield where you can go 3-4 wide, and it's entertaining racing.
And on your race team side this year, you have the veteran, J.R. Stewart, but you put Max Stambaugh in a car. He got in it actually last fall, but he's back in it for a full season. What is it like having the young up-and-coming driver and the seasoned veteran on the same race team?
Max, we had a little sit-down after the first couple of weeks. I mean, I guess I'm not used to an 18-year-old. I mean, I've had three boys, but I kind of forgot how that was, but he's gelling excellent with Jody Long, who was Darren's brother, and his crew chief, and they're coming together, and I mean, it's excellent right now. I mean, I really couldn't ask for anything more right now.
And I was going to say, he's fresh off the farm. He's right out of high school. I mean, it's pretty incredible what this kid's accomplished. And you mentioned that Nate Dussel could be in the third car as well, and you have a long history with the Dussel family as well.
Oh, definitely. I mean, Dussel's, I get along great with him. Nate, you know, he's a heck of a driver. In fact, Mike says he's better than he was. And, I mean, you know how Mike was successful in my car. So it's great to have that, you know, that young talent along with JR. And, I mean, JR's doing an excellent job this year. He's winning the points at Lima, winning the points in the NRA. And I can't ask for more than that. And there again, you got Max that's I think he's second in points in Lima, and he's third in points in the NRA. So, I mean, they're having an excellent year for me right now.
And what would it mean to see your race team win this year in particular when you have the young driver and the veteran? What would it be like if your race car pulled in the victory lane at your race on Friday night?
I'm sorry, what was that?
What would it be like to see your race car in victory lane on Friday night, the race you're promoting?
Well, last year I had that with Schaefer. I mean, it was an excellent feeling. I mean, it's great when you have a race that way. And, you know, I don't know if he was there last year, but last year, first, second, third came from 9th, 10th, and 11th position. I mean, it was a heck of a race to watch. They put on an excellent show. And Dustin Daggett, I kidded him the other day about he's led the most laps on both my races and never won. You had to bring that up to me, didn't you?
Yeah, I was going to say, you're lighting a fire to the kid. You might want to be careful there.
I like Dustin. I mean, I hope I did light a fire under.
There you go. Well, race fans, if you're interested in more information, WaynesfieldMotorsportsPark.com. It's the Bob Reynolds Memorial on Friday night. Yeah, actually, .net. Glad you caught me because it's a type, my stupid autocorrect. .net. So WaynesfieldMotorsportsPark.net. Great prices. Also, I noticed you guys are going to have beer sales with a charity twist in there. So that's kind of a neat deal, too. I read that as well.
Oh, yeah, Tammy Schobe, she owns the track with Greg Schobe. They she does medical miracles for kids. She brings them in and stuff. And I mean, our portion of the 50-50 and our portion of the beer sales goes to that benefit.
So fans, when you can't bring your coolers in this year, there's a good cause involved too. So go ahead and have a cold one responsibly, and make sure to enjoy that program. Well, Ron, I really appreciate you taking time out to join us again, and but wish you best of luck on Friday, and of course again in October we'll have you on again as well. But I think it's really neat what you've done with this show. It's filled a void I think that this region needed for a big race for the 360s in that area, and man, I think it's going to be a barn burner there on July 3rd.
Well, I hope so, and you got to quit saying Friday. It's July 3rd, Thursday.
Oh, Thursday. I'm off my game today, apparently. So July 3rd, which is Thursday, I keep on, it's messing with me that whole Friday, 4th of July thing. So Thursday night, July 3rd, Waynesfield Motorsports Park. .net and great prices for the kids. Make sure you get out there. And Ron, like I said, it's filled a great void, and I hope Thursday night everything goes perfect, and the weather plays nice, and everything falls into place.
Oh yeah, the weather, they're calling for 77 degrees as a high, 59 as a low. It's going to be an excellent night for racing. I mean, I just urge everybody to come out and support this race, and let's keep it going every year.
Well, I think that's already been precedent is set, Ron, so I think you're stuck with this thing for a while. So thank you for taking time with us, and best of luck on Thursday.
Thank you very much.
All right, we're going to take a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk Dirt Cup with Caleb Hart. You're listening to TJ Slideways Live here on RacesOnTheWeb.com.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at enginepro.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
If you're looking to add a little edge to your racing program, repair your engine, maybe even look into a new engine, Bailey Racing Engines of Coldwater, Michigan is a fine supporter of TJSlideways.com. Visit them online at BaileyEngines.com or call them at 517-278-8488.
All-Star Performance is a manufacturer and supplier of racing and high-performance auto parts, accessories, and specialty tools. From quarter midgets to sprint cars, All-Star Performance has all of the accessories you need. To find a dealer near you, visit allstarperformance.com.
TJ Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
Glade Shock Technology is a cutting-edge shock bump stop technology company located in Northwest Ohio. Specializing in sprint car racing, new and used sales, service, and repair, Eric Slade and his crew have over 30 years experience working with shocks, from the short tracks to the super speedways. For more information, visit SladeShockTechnology.com. Slade Shock Technology, where knowledge and experience make the difference.
If you're looking for new or used shocks or repair for your shocks or bump stop kits, make sure to check out Slade Shock Technology. Eric Slade has experience from sprint cars to NASCARs. He was in shocks before it was trendy, and now that's the hot thing in racing. You need to get your shock program in shape. Visit www.sladeshocktechnology.com for everything they offer. Slade Shock Technology. Get with the program. Get your shocks in shape.
There's a buzz in the bleachers, a rumble on the pavement, and the sweet smell of sprint car speed is in the air as Muncie Racing brings you the fastest short track
bike event on earth. Watch as the most daring lead foots in the land stand on the gas and rock it around one of the fastest half miles in America. There are records to be broken and racing royalty in the pits. It's a flat-out, foot-on-the-floor sprint car fiesta, and you can't find this brand of adrenaline-soaked action anywhere else.
If you love sprint car racing like we do, you need to get yourself to Pennsylvania this summer. Already recognized as one of the 10 must-see races of the year, the first annual Dirt Classic presented by Casey Kane on Saturday, September 27th, is standing up to be a premier event. The race will be held at Lincoln Speedway and boasts the highest payout in the track's history, with $20,000 on the line to the winner. But you don't have to wait till September to get your Dirt Classic picks. Tickets can be purchased at www.dirtclassic.com for reserved seating and general admission. Save your seat now and save $5 when ordering. The Dirt Classic presented by Casey Kinn, Saturday, September 27th at Lincoln Speedway.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at enginepro.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
All-Star Performance is a manufacturer and supplier of racing and high-performance auto parts, accessories, and specialty tools. From quarter midgets to sprint cars, All-Star Performance has all of the accessories you need. To find a dealer near you, visit allstarperformance.com. Blade Shock Technology is a cutting-edge shock bump stop technology company located in Northwest Ohio. Specializing in sprint car racing, new and used sales, service, and repair, Eric Slade and his crew have over 30 years' experience working with shocks, from the short tracks to the super speedways. For more information, visit SladeShockTechnology.com. Slade Shock Technology, where knowledge and experience make the difference.
There's a buzz in the bleachers, a rumble on the pavement, and the sweet smell of sprint car speed is in the air as Muncie Racing brings you the fastest short track event on earth. Watch as the most daring lead foots in the land stand on the gas and rock it around one of the fastest half miles in America. There are records to be broken and racing royalty in the pits. It's a flat-out, foot-on-the-floor sprint car fiesta, and you can't find this brand of adrenaline-soaked action anywhere else.
Welcome back to TJ Slideways Live here on RacesOnTheWeb.com. As we get back out to the racetrack again, don't forget post-race podcast throughout the 2014 season when we're at the track. Look for interviews with the feature winners and some of the other newsmakers throughout the evening. So that's a new feature this year on TJSlideways.com. And it's time for our annual recap of the Dirt Cup. And this gentleman always helps us look ahead or look back at the Dirt Cup every year. And this year I want to look back at it. Just because it is kind of a different year, a very unusual year. And Caleb Hart, we were just talking off the air, this might go down as one of the most memorable Dirt Cups in history.
Yeah, memorable good, memorable bad, so long as it's memorable, right? So long as people are talking about it. You and I both from the media game understand that there truly is no such thing as bad press, right? So if somebody's talking about you, they're at least built in top of mind awareness, and it's going to be memorable for years and years and years, guys. People in the grandstands are going to talk about where they were when Brock Lemley won Dirt Cup, under the circumstances that Brock Lemley won Dirt Cup under. And then it was a good race to start with. It had all the drama of a Hollywood movie production down over the last 10 laps of the darn thing. So it was a unique and interesting weekend outside of the outside going-ons that happened at Dirt Cup, but what happened on the track was fascinating and scintillating and thrilling as well.
And unfortunately, the weather did not play into your hands again. It was kind of lousy again, but
sure.
How you guys squeaked that show in, when I looked at the radar, I thought it was a goner. I was amazed he got it in.
You know, TJ, it's our own damn fault for building a racetrack in the rainforest to start with. So just, I want to go on the record and say, it's Western Washington. We deal with 250 days a year of cloudy with a chance of rain to start with. So the 115 days a year that doesn't rain are beautiful, but you know, it's just, there's really only about a 45 to 60 day window out here of dry weather certainty. And even then you're going to catch a shower in there once in a while. That being said, the reason that Dirt Cup was scheduled in June on the date that it traditionally was scheduled many years ago, when Jim Raper created the event, well, the Super Dirt Cup back then, is that he looked at the old Farmer's Almanac and looked by weekends with percentile chance of rain. And the Farmer's Almanac told him that it was traditionally the third weekend of June was the driest weather he was going to get out there. This year, we pushed it back an extra week. We went 1 week deeper than what we usually do to try to get a little bit better, because it hasn't been, you know, we haven't lost all that many nights of Dirt Cup since I've been around, and this was my 10th one. We lost a preliminary night in 2006. I think we lost a preliminary night in 2011. We lost the finale in 2012. And then we lost the Friday night of this year. So there's four nights of preliminary and or three nights of preliminary and one night of finale that we've lost in 10 seasons. That's not bad, and not a whole lot before that either. Never had lost a finale before 2012. It just so happened that again, we caught that weekend where Mother Nature just did not cooperate. Thursday night was good. We got through it. That by the time everybody had woken up Friday morning, we pretty much knew we weren't going to race on Friday night. And then it just downpoured on us all through Friday night. And then we're going to see if we can pull the double like we had last year. But just it didn't end up working out. The crew had to bust their rear end so hard to get the track ready to basically hot lap for the night show, but there's no way we could run during the day. And then at the point in time that we made the decision to go for it on Saturday night, which was relatively early by that point in time, the forecast actually looked good. Steve had come out to us and said, all right, well, we've got like a 5 to 10% chance hour by hour on the forecast I'm looking for going forward. So let's go. Let's get this thing in. Let's get this thing done. And at the point where the sprinkles and the rain came, about lap 15 of the main event, it was surprising that we hadn't really been thinking that it was coming. And, you know, at that point, you've got to, you know, mulligan your game plan and try to figure out how to get it best done. And we got 24 laps of 40, and in the end, the locals went away happy with their hometown hero taking his first Dirt Cup.
Was the racing a bit more intense with drivers maybe sensing that they were racing for halfway?
I don't know. I can tell you this. I think they were all set for a 40-lap feature. The skies had not been particularly ominous from about 5 o'clock on that day. I'm sure some of them had their weather stations out and were checking and seeing humidity and stuff like that. But from my seat in the tower, I didn't see it coming. And I don't know how many of the drivers and crews could have seen it coming. And my guess is most of them were set up for the long haul. Now, Dirt Cup being what it is and the format of it, a 40-lap race around a 3/10 mile where you get into traffic pretty quick, you don't want to wait too late to really start making your move and coming forward, because if the leader can get into traffic and get some lappers in between him and the rest of them, it's sayonara. It's bye-bye city. That's the formula that Allard had used for the first three of his Dirt Cup wins, was to try to get into traffic and get some cars in behind him early and then catch yellow flags as applicable, because 3/10 mile with walls all around it and tight racing like it is, you're going to get some stoppages. So that really gives the leader a chance to have clean air with slower traffic in behind him and the guys chasing him, and it's a huge advantage. Shane Stewart's also used the same formula to win a couple of Dirt Cups. So that's really the pattern. That's the blueprint to winning a Dirt Cup Saturday night, is to go hard early, don't save your stuff and wait. And you saw guys in the field really going hard early, but not because of the weather, but more so because I believe that that's how you win that race.
And Jonathan Auer looked like he might be a contender to win another Dirt Cup. Unfortunately, it was not in the cards this time.
He sure had a good car again, and I felt bad for him and Clyde and Marion Lamar. That would have been a great win for Clyde and Marion. They lost a driver at Dirt Cup many years ago, if I remember the story correctly. Actually, had one of their drivers die at that event. So this hasn't been a particularly kind race to them, and I don't believe they have a Dirt Cup championship. And for Jonathan and the team, they'd really been coming along and really making strides in their program. They had a race car, they had a chassis switch here over the last couple of weeks, and Jonathan's really come alive since then. And looked good. He had a pretty good chance to get it, but Skagit is a place where you talk to any of the drivers, and the guy with clean air has such a huge, huge advantage just due to the nature of our surface and the dust that comes off it from visibility and a dirty air standpoint for the guys chasing them. The second place guy is at a pretty extreme disadvantage at our racetrack from those factors, and Brock Lemley was catching him in clean air before Jonathan lost his right rear tire. I think, and you can go back to my laps and look at some of the lap times. I wasn't paying attention to those because I was pretty caught up in the moment. But visibly on the track, I think you could see Brock running Jonathan down without the slower cars in front of him. And it would have been a fantastic finish had we been able to stay green flag for the duration of the rest of the way.
And, of course, the local getting the win had to be popular with the local fan base. You had him, but then you also had Robbie Price, who was a pretty good story over the weekend with his 360 car.
It's such a cool story. We've been watching Robbie. We've been watching Robbie since he started up at our micro track on Friday night up at Deming Speedway, come from a junior sprint through a restricted 600 and into an open 600 and then into a Focus Midget. Now this year he's been running with our limited division, the Sportsman Sprints. Well, for the first time he bolts a 360 into the car, leads the first 12 laps of the preliminary night on Thursday night and looks really good in doing it. Starts 10th on the A main, and we had all thought, all right, this is a big stage for him. You know, if he can maintain and not really back the car up all that far, you know, stay right on the outskirts of the top 10 during this race, that's going to be a pretty big success for him. Well, he not only did that, he passed. He went forward to 6th. He didn't wait for guys to drop out in front of him. We watched him drive around people to get to that 6th place performance, and it was a massive coming out party for that young man. A great kid. His dad puts a ton into his racing and is really, really supportive and is a real great car owner here to the Pacific Northwest as well, and just couldn't be happier for that family on what they accomplished this weekend.
Now, Dirt Cup did have a full field this year. You guys had enough for an A and a B main and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people are looking at it and see where it used to draw 70-some cars. And the car count has dwindled. The sprint car world has changed, especially in the Pacific Northwest.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, there was a lot of grumbling this year about the car count with the 410s, with the Dirt Cup. What do we see for the future of Dirt Cup? Where might this event be heading?
Well, for those of the people who are listening who don't really know the history of the event, I've been coming to Dirt Cups consistently now for 10 years, but on and off for 20. And when I was a young man sitting in the grandstands of like the 1992, 1993 Jim Rape Memorial Dirt Cup, there'd be 90 cars in the pit area. Racing has clearly made a very large change since then. The economics of the sport have fallen further out of balance than what they are today. And my first Dirt Cup as an employee of Skagit Speedway in 2005, the car count was, I believe we had 48 cars in the pit area that night. We had an A, B, C, and D main that evening. It was a pretty small D main, but we had four main events. And of those 48 cars, 46 of them were actual 410 cubic inch engines. Had a couple of 360s going for the 360 bonus, which we've always put out there. It's never been as large as it was this year, but, you know, we've always had some guys who brought their cars out to try to compete and see what they could do. This year, of the 33 cars we had sign into the pit area, I think 24 of them were 410s. So, you know, in 10 seasons, In 10 seasons, the amount of actual 410 race cars drawn to this event has been cut in half. There's reasons. There's a lot of reasoning in behind it. West Coast 410 racing is really hurting. Calistoga, at their King of the West event, the Saturday previous to ours, didn't have enough cars for a B-Main. Silver Dollar Speedway last Friday night had 13 race cars in their 410 A-Main. And Silver Dollar isn't drawing, when I first started out in this business and started paying attention to this kind of stuff, you know, they had B-Mains nearly every night in their 410 division. So it's everywhere. It's not just us, especially here on the West Coast. Part of it, comparatively, is that our purse is pretty low for the 410 division because we pay our 360s as if they were a premium class as well. And they are. Our 360s are our bread and butter out here. The second part of it is that there's only really one track to run a 410 at if you own one in British Columbia, Washington, or Oregon, and that's Skagit Speedway. So you have one night a week at one track to basically try to make enough money to fund your engine rebuild, which engine rebuilds, the cost of those, have gone through the roof. You're essentially putting out, as multiple 410 car owners have told me, $1,000 to $1,200 a night just to run that race car. Between tires, fuel, and your engine maintenance costs, you know, your four bills to get that car on the track in any given night. And unless you win, you're not breaking even. And that's tough to maintain. And we've seen just a petering out of that class since basically 2006. We had 24 to 26 cars a night in 2006, and it's just petered down and out since then, and guys will blow up their engine and go, all right, well, let's go 360 racing because I can make almost as much money to win, almost half the cost of engine maintenance, tires, fuel, et cetera, to get my car on the track, and take the money I have and have almost as much fun for a much longer duration of time. So that's my view on the 410s on the West Coast. As far as it goes, I think you're going to see a change in the event itself, and there's a couple of different ways it can get. The event name, the Jim Raper Memorial Dirt Cup, and being a Dirt Cup champion still means something. So I think the event in name is going to live on. The format or the date of the event might have to undertake a changing for it to survive, and I think it's something that's worth trying to make survive because, again, it does mean something. It's something people will travel from. And as I was sitting there bantering with my dad after the races on Saturday night, if Dirt Cup turned into a 360 show, which we've got 40 local 360s between Skagit Speedway and Grays Harbor Raceway that you can pull from, and guys, you know, with cars sitting in their shops that they only bring out once in a while, you would easily pull 10 to 15 cars out of Alberta, Montana, Oregon, and then if you can continue to get the cooperation from the promoting group down in California, all those guys who came up from California to race this weekend have 360s as well. They'll travel for $1,200 to start and $20,000 to win. You could easily see a 60 to 70 car Dirt Cup show again under a 360 banner during that third or fourth weekend of June, as has been for 43 years now. The other option, as I thought about it, would be we've got a pretty large paying 360 event that comes up at the end of July, which is $12,000 to win and a pretty decent starting money. I think it's $800 or $900 or something like that. If you took the name off of that, which we call our Summer Nationals, if you took the name off of that, put it to this weekend here in June and call your June race the Summer Nationals for $20,000 to win and $1,200 to start, and then take the name of the Jim Raper Memorial Dirt Cup, put it on your World of Outlaw show in late August, I don't know if the Outlaws would ever be willing to run a traditional Dirt Cup format of any kind, but you could still have the name and the title out of the deal, which is important and I think really does need to live on, and have them run for an enhanced person, enhanced start. You have all of those guys who are going to come out and travel naturally already, right? Because they're bringing 15, 20 travelers, something like that, to most of their shows. You pull from a lot of the locals who will come out and run that already and try to get that California support back, because that's the start of an actual pretty long race swing down the West Coast that's worth those guys for coming out and having. And you've got a prestigious Dirt Cup 410 event as it was originally slated to be handled, just on a different weekend and under a sanctioning body format. So those are the two directions that I could see it going in. And thank God it's not up to me to make that decision and make that call as to what happens. But, you know, if I was a betting man, those would be the two scenarios that I see as most likely to happen going forward with this. You can always try to continue running it as a 410 show as it is now, and by hook or by crook, getting an A and a B main out of the deal. But most everybody would like to see it be returned to the glory that we think it deserves. And I think those are two pretty good ways to look at it.
And one thing that's kind of interesting, we talked about off air, it's something that I actually talked to Steve Beitler about during the promoters workshop, is you guys do have a full field of 410s like in the area. If you added everybody up that's still running them, it's just that the cars don't all come out on the same night.
Right. And a lot of that again is cost. And a lot of that again is, our drivers up here kind of like variety. They like the ability to go somewhere else and do something different on a weekend. An individual track championship today doesn't mean what it meant 10 years ago, even up to 5 years ago, you know. And especially you think of the groups that you have in your area, TJ, the guys like SOD and NRA, et cetera. I would bet that more of your drivers in your neck of the woods would put a higher priority on catching traveling events and maybe being a series champion than they would winning a local track championship over, you know, being the 410 track champion at Butler, for example, right? I think more of our guys would rather go catch our traveling show weekends and be the Summer Thunder Series champion or catch the ASCS races up here in our neck of the woods, as opposed to running every weekend and being committed to chasing after points and blah, 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 and have to run a pretty grueling schedule if every race got off to be a track champion these days. That's just my opinion. I'm not 100% sure that it's correct, but our guys in our neck of the woods want to travel. They want to go see different things. They want to run different tracks once in a while, and that's part of the reason that you don't see a full field or a lot of 410s anymore, is because you can take your 360 engine and go race other places.
That being said, you guys have tried something different this year. You've kind of alternated your classes in a rotation and tried to put on some different division stuff throughout the year. Could you see a point where maybe the 410s and the 360s don't race on the same night? Do you think that would help if there's some sort of alternating rotation or something to maybe help the 410 division there if they weren't on
the same night? There are already nights that they don't happen. In fact, most of them have ended up this way. As far as our schedule goes, you'll get one of the two premier divisions on most nights. You'll get a 410 to the 360 class, and you'll get our limiteds, our sportsman sprints, and you'll get our stock car division, their Hornets in a lot of places around the nation. We call them tuners. And then you get one of a couple of rotating classes of cars this year. Last year and this year, we've brought up modifieds. They're IMCA rule modifieds is what they are. Street stocks. We've brought up the USAC HPD Midget Series that's here about six times a season. And so you're seeing some more variety get mixed into the track in that regard. And the fan base is still not quite sure how to handle that, because this is a fan base that up until 2013 basically walked into the racetrack every night expecting to see three classes of sprint cars, and that was going to be the show. Now you're getting two classes of sprint cars, and you're getting your tuners, and you're getting something else. And it's taking it's really taking a transition. That the fans, you know, you train them for years and years and years to get used to the way that a show runs, and now the show doesn't run the same because the cars are different. So It's definitely taking some work for the fan base to kind of adjust to not seeing them once in a while, to not seeing all three classes on the docket every night. Now, that being said, this weekend all three classes are on the docket once again. But it's a transition period for the fans in terms of what they're seeing on the show on a week-to-week basis.
Well, it sounds like to me there are options there. I mean, I think I agree with you. I think we're going to see the Dirt Cup in one of three forms. I think the two that you mentioned are likely scenarios, or even just continuing on the way it is still an option too. I mean, there's still 30 cars there. It's not like there's 10 cars showing up. So I mean,
sure, yeah. It's not like trying to force a race where there's one that doesn't want to happen. There's guys who still will come race for the money, and there are still guys who want to be the Dirt Cup champion. You're right. So the race will go on in some form or function. The question is how, and we've got some time before we're going to have to figure that one out. And I think it's going to be interesting any of the ways that it goes. You know, if it breaks one way, we're going to have a really big 360 race to talk about. If it breaks another way, we're going to have, you know, a World of Outlaw sanctioned Dirt Cup. Or we're going to have a Dirt Cup where we're going to worry about where we're getting race cars from. But either way, we're going to have points of conversation about it, that's for sure.
And I'm sure after the races, when everyone's sitting around having a good time, it's really not going to matter in the end anyway. So everyone's still going to have fun and still going to be Skagit. So, Caleb, I really appreciate you taking time out to join us, and wish you best of luck up there for the rest of the year. And I'm sure we'll talk to you closer to the 360 event in July and then your big World of Outlaw show as well.
But TJ, I appreciate the time, and if nobody said this to you, thanks for doing the podcast and helping to promote open wheel racing. You know, this is our sport is kind of a grassroots community, and anytime that you can do something to bring some more attention to it, it's always a good thing and helps grow the sport that way. Years and years from now, it's going to be our kids and our grandkids doing stuff like this podcast that they get to talk about cool events like Dirt Cup on. So
yeah,
thank you very much.
It's kind of hard to even imagine what they might be doing considering our parents were reading racing papers and such. So,
oh, you know what? Just think about how much I turned 31 on Dirt Cup Saturday night, and I think about how much sprint car racing has changed just in my lifetime, how much of a difference it's made. We've gone from non-down tube cars to down tube cars. The shocks are making a huge difference. The wings are way different than what they used to be. The pay is pretty much the same, but we've taken a huge transition period over my lifetime, and I'm excited to see where it goes for this next generation and on up. I think it's going to be fascinating to watch, and hopefully everything breaks right. We can still be talking about it in 30 years, right?
Sounds good to me. All right, Caleb Hart from the Skagit Speedway. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Jane Steinbeck's going to talk about his first career victory. You're listening to TJ Slideways Live here on RacesOnTheWeb.com.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at EngineProParts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
If you're looking to add a little edge to your racing program, repair your engine, maybe even look into a new engine, Bailey Racing Engines of Coldwater, Michigan is a fine supporter of TJSlideways.com. Visit them online at BaileyEngines.com or call them at 517-278-8488.
All-Star Performance is a manufacturer and supplier of racing and high-performance auto parts, accessories, and specialty tools. From quarter midgets to sprint cars, All-Star Performance has all of the accessories you need. To find a dealer near you, visit allstarperformance.com.
TJ Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a member
membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
Blade Shock Technology is a cutting-edge shock bump stop technology company located in Northwest Ohio. Specializing in sprint car racing, new and used sales, service, and repair, Eric Slade and his crew have over 30 years' experience working with shocks, from the short tracks to the super speedways. For more information, visit SladeShockTechnology.com. Slade Shock Technology, where knowledge and experience make the difference.
If you're looking for new or used shocks or repair for your shocks or bump stop kits, make sure to check out Slade Shock Technology. Eric Slade has experience from sprint cars to NASCARs. He was in shocks before it was trendy, and now that's the hot thing of racing. You need to get your shock program in shape. Visit www.sladeshocktechnology.com for everything they offer. Slade Shock Technology. Get with the program. Get your shocks in shape.
There's a buzz in the bleachers, a rumble on the pavement, and the sweet smell of sprint car speed is in the air as Muncie Racing brings you the fastest short track event on earth. Watch as the most daring lead foots in the land stand on the gas and rocket around one of the fastest half miles in America. There are records to be broken and racing royalty in the pits. It's a flat-out, foot-on-the-floor sprint car fiesta, and you can't find this brand of adrenaline-soaked action anywhere else.
If you love sprint car racing like we do, you need to get yourself to Pennsylvania this summer. Already recognized as one of the 10 must-see races of the year, the first annual Dirt Classic presented by Casey Kane on Saturday, September 27th, is stacking up to be a premier event. The race will be held at Lincoln Speedway and boasts the highest payout in the track's history, with $20,000 on the line to the winner. But you don't have to wait till September to get your Dirt Classic picks. Tickets can be purchased at www.dirtclassic.com for reserved seating and general admission. Save your seat now and save $5 when ordering. The Dirt Classic presented by Casey Kane, Saturday, September 27th at Lincoln Speedway. Welcome back to TJ Sideways Live here on RacesOnTheWeb.com. And each and every week we try to have a guest on that's local to the area here. We're based out of the Great Lakes state of Michigan here, and rarely do I ever get to have the guests on that are closest to proximity, literally to where I live, as Jay Steinbeck lives maybe like 5 miles as the crow flies from right here in the Sideways headquarters. Him and Joe Bears are in competitions. He was actually closest. I'm not sure who. We were trying to debate this over the air. They're only a couple miles apart themselves. So we're going to give Jay the honor for the night as being the closest sprint car proximity to the Slideways headquarters. And he picked up his first career win Friday night at I-96 Speedway. So, Jay, congratulations first off. And how did it feel to finally pick up that first victory?
Oh, TJ, it was surreal. It really was. You know, I've been working for years and years to kind of get that. And finally, you know, I kept looking up at the flags, waiting for that white flag to come out, and it did, and then I got a yellow right after that, so I had to kind of make it two white flag laps in a row, but we finally pulled it out.
And that's the track that you kind of got started with there at I-96 Speedway. It's the track that kind of broke you in, got you interested in going sprint car racing.
Yeah, TJ, I've been going to that track since I was, probably 6 months old, a year old, something like that. I've got pictures, you know, a baby crawling around the ground there with my grandfather. He kind of took me out there when I first started crawling. So I've been going to that track for probably 32 years or something like that.
So appropriate you pick up win number one there. You are one of the newer guys in the scene, and you've done it the newer way, where you've come out of the micro sprints and then you moved your way up into the full-size sprint cars. How much of the micro sprint experience translated to your full-size sprint car experience when you got started?
You know, it translated because I was in a race car and I was used to the speed and stuff. But, you know, honestly, TJ, it took me a while to really get acclimated to the different horsepower to weight ratio and just the bigger car. And, you know, I kind of have done this all on my own. You know, it took me probably a year or so before I was really comfortable in the big car, you know.
And one thing I've noticed is, especially over the past 2 years, you have managed to make steady improvement. What has made the biggest difference in your program over the past couple of years? Because it seems like, especially over the past year and a half, you have really started rolling a lot better.
You know, I've got a couple guys that I've been talking to that have been around, Greg Dahlman being one of them. Me and him talk a couple times a week, and I bounce ideas off him, and he tells me if they're dumb or if he doesn't say much, I know I'm on to something. So, you know, this past winter I made the jump to send all my shocks out and get all new torsion bars and that kind of stuff with the hopes that it would pick up the program a little bit. You know, I'm a shoestring budget guy, and that seemed to really help the car. Really, you know, I can trust what the shocks are doing. You know, Brad Bennett down there at Momentum Racing, he talked me through. I've called him at 10 o'clock at night on a race night, and I know he's answering me from the couch or something like that, and I really appreciate it. So, you know, I just, talking to a lot of people, you know, getting different ideas and different setup ideas and some stuff like that has really been helping, so.
And you mentioned talking to a lot of different people. If someone was in the micro sprints now and they're about ready to ask you about making the jump, what's one thing that you could tell them that you wish somebody would have shared with you that maybe you had to learn the hard way through your years of getting into the sprint car ranks? What advice would you offer them that you wish someone had offered you right off the bat?
Right off the bat, TJ, I would say probably, you know, stick to the basics. Make the car set up right, you know, get a decent set of shocks on it, you know, some decent torsion bars and stuff like that. You know, I've kind of fiddled around with half used up stuff, and I still do. You know, I Friday afternoon I was calling Joe Bears for a couple tires he said he had. So, you know, I just stick to the basics on stuff like that. You know, get yourself a decent program to start with and proceed from there. You know, that's where I'm at right now. I've got myself a baseline set up every week, and I go to the track and I make some changes out based off of that.
And you mentioned you do race on a limited budget, so you don't travel as much as a lot of other people, but to do that, you do both winged and non-wing racing around here. Which one have you maybe become a little more acclimated to, and which one, you know, how different is it, like, especially going to a place like Crystal where you race both cars, both styles, winged and non-wing? You know, I say both cars, you're using the same one, but winged and non-winged. Is it difficult to go to the same track and transition to both types of cars?
You know, it is a little bit. It usually takes you a few laps, maybe a hot lap session or something, to kind of transition from one to the other. You know, when you run the non-wing, you're driving the car a lot more, that kind of thing. And, you know, I know I've caught myself running over the tires before at Crystal because I'm used to my turn-in points with the non-wing. And, you know, I do that with the wings on, and it turns right now, you know. So I think it does help me, though. It helps me become a better driver, you know, control the car a little better running back and forth. You know, I know some people like to specialize more in one than the other, but I enjoy it, and I don't want to travel more than, you know, 150 miles away from home, and I can run the wing and non-wing and do that within that 150 miles just about every weekend.
And now you have a trailer that we've had a lot of fun with this year.
You were
an open trailer guy, which we always love the open trailer, but you did go to the enclosed trailer. But when you did it with style because you got it from the National Studebaker Museum. And does it still have the Studebaker? I haven't seen it in a few weeks. Does it still have the Studebaker lettering on it?
It absolutely does. And just about every time I take it out of my driveway now, I have people stop me and ask me if I'm looking for Studebaker parts or if I have Studebakers in it or something like that. I found this thing right down by Brett Mann's house, and just a guy had it. It was a good price for me for the time being there late last year, and it still says Studebaker. I've contemplated painting it, and I've had a handful of guys that are into the Studebakers tell me I shouldn't when I'm done with it, you know, that there's probably a market for that kind of thing.
You know, I told you should actually do up the car in Studebaker lettering and really mess with people. I think that would be a lot of fun, but hopefully someone actually puts their name on the car pretty soon, so we have to do that. But you've been doing this for a few years now. Where do you want to end up sprint car racing wise in your career? You've managed to garner a little more support, but you're still a lower budget guy. What would you like to see yourself be sprint car racing wise in 3 or 4 years?
You know, ultimately, TJ, I would like to have myself a championship. You know, I thought about doing it this past winter for this year, but you know, I still got some young kids around the house, and to commit to a full season of sod, you know, it's 20-some races. That just, it takes a lot away from home. You know, you're gone 2 or 3 weekends, you know, 2-day, 3-day weekends, a few handful of times a year, and I'm just not ready for that. I would like to challenge for one of the championships, be it non-wing or wing, here within the next couple of years. You know, I'm kind of debating next year, just kind of committing to one series or the other, and filling in with some other shows like that. I, you know, ultimately, what are you in it for? You're in it to win a mains and win championships, you know, and I'm chasing some guys with a handful of both already, so.
And one thing that has been talked about, would you be in favor of I-96 opening up the rule package to get some more cars to where it was an open sprint car show instead of a 360 program?
Absolutely. We actually had some discussions about that with Mike Mouch out there, and one of my suggestions was to open up the right rear. You know, as I said a little while ago, I was scraping around at 2 o'clock on Friday trying to get myself a couple medium tires. You know, and I have other tires. I've got some Outlaw tires and NRA tires and stuff like that. So, and somebody else threw out the idea of opening up the engines. I think that would really help Mike out there. You know, he's got a good facility. He's got good food. I always wait for the food to get when I get out there, but. You know, I think he would pull some Butler cars and maybe some Southern cars on a Friday night that nobody has out. You know, it's kind of centrally located right off the highway, right in the middle of the state. And he's got a good thing going there. I think if he opened both of those up, I think he could probably pull 20 cars a week. I really do.
Well, Jay, it's been a pleasure to watch your progress through the sprint car ranks. And hopefully we get to do this a little bit sooner, you know, than did to take the first one, even though it really didn't take that long. When you think about number of races, it really didn't take that long. But hopefully we get to do this pretty good, you know, victory interview again soon. And who knows, you might have to come out and help co-host with the some night. You are the nearby.
I would love that.
We're going to have to do that, I think, at some point. We'll have to do a deck show, and I got to get a mixer with another microphone part. We'll have to do that. Well, congratulations on the win, and I'm sure you have some people to thank as well.
Oh, absolutely, TJ. I've got a handful. I've actually got kind of a funny deal right now. I hurt the motor here about a month ago, 6 weeks ago. So I was talking to John Bostrom up there at NWA Machine, and he said, you know, hey, he says, I've got an engine sitting here. He said, come up and get it. It's got one show on it, and that's actually the one I've been running right now. A loaner motor until mine gets back together here shortly. So he's one of the big ones right now. TCPaintball.com, it's an uncle's business. He kind of helps me out on a weekly basis. Stripco Engineering with Mark Stripco, he helps me out, you know, daily, weekly, whatever it may be. Lakeside Pizza, he helped me out a little bit at the end of last year. JJ Customs, as I said, Momentum Suspension helped me out a little bit. Barry Miles with the Specialty Fuels and Logistics. You know, I, like I said, Greg Dahlman's been a big help. You know, I bounce stuff off that guy all the time. And also recently, Mike Birkin, kind of becoming a friend of his. And he's throwing me some tips here and there. And he told me a couple things to do. And I did that, and I think it really livened the car up. So I'm really thankful to all those guys. They kind of let me, you know, let me do my thing on the weekend. So,
well, like I said, Jay, congratulations. And hopefully we get to do this again soon.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks a lot for having me, TJ. It's my pleasure.
And that's going to wrap up this edition of TJ Slideways Live. I'd like to thank Ron Hammonds, Caleb Hart, and, of course, Jay Steinbeck for being on the show tonight. We'll be doing this again next Monday night, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern, our Kings Royal preview show. You are not going to want to miss this one. Look for some news coming on it later in the week. Thank you, and good night.
Thank you for listening to this edition of TJ Slideways Live.